Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome again to Hidden Mysteries, and I'm Mimi, one of your co-hosts this evening on Hidden Mysteries, and I'm here with Reverend Maria DeAndrea, and this is December 2nd, 2015. This is the New York area that we're speaking to you from, and we're here each month, usually the first Wednesday of every month, to explore an array of unusual topics and endeavor to seek out answers to mysterious concepts and age-old legends. Hi, Reverend Maria, how you doing?
Wonderful. We're having such a wonderful day today. A little bit rainy, but the plants love it.
Well, they're going to start hibernating.
There's always something positive in everything. We just have to search a little bit more some days than others.
How true. For those of you who don't know who Reverend Maria is, she's an internationally known psychic from Budapest, Hungary, and a European shaman, and she is also a published author. And there are so many of Maria's books on Amazon.com. If you follow the link below our episode information, you'll be able to find all of Maria's books. And there's so many of them, so informative, a font of information, and please peruse and purchase them. Maria is also a metaphysical practitioner and a public speaker, and she's traveled to many places to speak on spiritual, psychic, and paranormal topics, which are our favorite topics to talk about. We are very passionate about it, just to let people know, if they don't know by now. check out Maria's website at mariadeandrea.com, or use the links below and here on Blog Talk. And you can also go to mquestmedia.com. to see segments of MQuest TV, which I host on the internet. And you can find that 24 hours a day. So, everyone, please visit. You'll find some really interesting topics on there, articles as well that I've written myself. And if anybody would like to send an article in for the newsletter, please get in touch with me. You can email me on the site as well. For anyone who would like to join us in the chat room, it is naturally open for anyone who's inquisitive, anybody who has questions or comments about today's topic, and if anyone would like to talk personally to Maria after the show, you can get her at 631-559-1248. That's 631-559-1248. So on to another amazing topic that we have for this evening, in regards to the universal laws. You know, our universe appears to be a complex arena of cause and effect, synchronistic happenings, and a mass of what might look like confusing, disconnected events, which might look as if this world bears no structure, no harmony, just a constant state of random experiences. Yet we've all heard of the universal laws, the laws of attraction, for instance, from countless people over the years. To show how intricately woven we are into the fabric of this reality, the mind, as well as the brain and heart, emit a tremendous magnetic energy field that steadily flows through each of us, influencing our environment as well as each other. This energy is conscious and unconscious, and is united by these same universal principles that were somehow put in place to help navigate our lives. So do we perhaps have more control over our world than we actually realize or wish to admit? Thoughts to ponder. I suddenly started to feel like Sex in the City. And Carrie's doing her narrative. You know, I used to love her narratives, you know, always with a question. So Maria,
right.
What is a universal law? What part does it play in our lives? What's it all about?
Well, first of all, universal law laws basically have a shamanic and a magical point of view, not stage magic, the other type of magic, the one that's been here since ancient times. And these laws have always been there, no matter, let me put this way, it's really a matter of when we discovered them. The laws have always been there. It's as though, as an example, when you talk to scientists, all of a sudden, they're discovering the atom and how it worked, and they're all excited about it because it's something new, you know, but it was there all along. So the universal laws are the same way. They've always been there. Sometimes through time and through ancient times, shaman and other people have discovered what they are and how to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, there are so many laws, you know, that we wouldn't even be able to mention them all in, you know, in just one sitting. But would you be able to mention maybe a few of the lesser known ones? Because, I mean, everyone knows about the law of attraction, you know, and the law of abundance and all that. But what? But I know that there are many, many others. So why don't you mention a few of these lesser known ones?
Okay. Let's see. Well, first of all, you have the law of the wheel, which I think fewer people have heard of it. And the law of the wheel comes from the Kabbalah. It pertains to the never-ending evolutionary path of universal life. Also, it's called Jacob's Ladder, and scientists, which I love, are really knowing it more as evolution. So it's just terminology, but it's really funny. Everybody is tuned into the same source, just different labels. Then there's the law of manifestation, and it is the law of suggestion. So as an example, suggestion is basically like having a generator. So it brings it into operation into the material world. As an example, it can't really work unless you have a suggestion, and then that goes to the subconscious mind, and then emotions have to be behind it to manifest it. It's an imprint really on your subconscious or your unconscious mind. So it gives you that little push, you know, like a battery charger, because without that, you can have all the thoughts, but it's not really going to kick in because you don't have that push behind it. Then there's the law of, let's see, personal health. I like that one.
Who doesn't? You can't walk around without it.
Even at one little point, like a headache, right? So basically, the law of personal health is the physical body gives us a tangible readout of how our soul mind is doing. So you can actually use the body to gauge what you have accomplished, your attitude towards people, events in your life, how you're balancing your life. Let's see whether the subconscious and conscious are aligned or not. So as an example, say you have a lower back pain for a really, really long time. So it doesn't really mean you were lifting something heavy and you pulled a muscle for like an hour or a day. But this is something that's more ongoing. So if you're having lower back pain, okay, it's really telling you that you're very stressed about money or finances. It does not mean you don't have it. It means you're stressed about it. So as an example, people that grew up in the Depression, if they're still stressed about it because they went through a horrific time, okay, then they could make $80 million and still be stressed about finance because in the back of their mind, they're waiting for it all to disappear. So it's your outlook of it, not whether you actually have it or not. And then, you know, different parts of your body relate to different situations. Then you have the law of quantum connection. I love that because we work with science. I don't know why people think if you're into magic and paranormal and spiritual things that we're just out there somewhere spaced. You know, we run our own businesses. We're very logical because basically we are the oldest science. Like physics came really out of metaphysics. Okay. Chemistry came out of alchemy, and chemists will actually tell you that. So it's actually funny. So then you have the law of quantum connection that basically means that all living and non-living things are connected on the ethereal plane. So when a physical connection is cut between two people, as an example, they will still influence each other for a long time because really there are no barriers. So as an example, if two people who have been really good friends have an argument and haven't been connecting physically, haven't seen each other for a really long time, they will always have some sort of ethereal connection. Because sometimes you'll find, as an example, you ever have where you haven't been in touch with a friend, as an example, for a really, really long time, and then all of a sudden, for like an hour or two, you can't stop thinking about them, and there wasn't a reason, right?
Right, right, yeah.
You know, and we've all had that. It's usually because there's something going on with the person where they're thinking of you, or they miss you, or some situation came up that reminded them of you, you know. But there's always that little tug of war.
Right, right, right. You know, I just wanted to comment about, you were talking about the law of personal health and how the body reflects, you know, the inner workings of our subconscious mind. I remember having an experience many years ago where I was working for someone who I really detested, you know, I hated being there, you know. What else is new, you know? And whenever I was about to go to the office, I know for a very long time, I would at times have like trouble walking to a point that I couldn't climb steps up onto the bus or something. And then as I was getting closer and closer to the office, it was almost like my knees started to lock up. I didn't want to go. It was like my soul was like saying, don't go, you know.
But so, that's not a sign.
I'm telling you, even at that time, and I was pretty young at that time, I sensed what was going on. You know, I had already understood. So I realized after some time that I, or the bigger I in this respect, you know, our soul was actually showing how much I hated being there. So your body will give you the truth, in every situation. So you have to listen to your body or watch it or feel it. It's like just feel what your body is trying to tell you at that moment. If you stick,
definitely, because you know what happens.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're not paying attention, or we don't want to know, and the body's going to keep telling you until you pay attention consciously, and then whatever you do from then on, it's free will. Because if you still have to go to work, you still have to go to work until you found something else.
Right.
But at least
it's
telling you you weren't supposed to be there, and you said you already felt that, right?
Yeah, it was. At that point, I was having spiritual lessons with somebody, so I was becoming very much aware of my spirit, you know, and those inner voices telling you what was going on, you know. So I sensed very deeply that that's what was the problem. I mean, you know, hell knows, I didn't like the person I was working with and what I was doing, you know, but. I just remember one day just like in so much pain, I couldn't even lift my legs to get up on the steps of the bus. And I'm always been a very active person. I mean, they used to call me Silverado, you know, one of my places that I worked in, because I could run from one side of the building to the next, you know, in 2 seconds flat. So,
I've never seen you stay put for more than a second. All the TV shows we've done together, and you are a phenomenal producer. I loved when you were helping me with my show. You're wonderful. And I remember I would see you, and I would turn away to talk to somebody for a second, and I turned around, and whoosh, you're gone.
It was like a flash. I was de-manifesting myself. Which,
and you didn't tell me the secret on how to teleport?
Yes. It's called quick as a flash. That's what it's called.
Right.
Now I know you have a couple of others that you wanted to mention as far as universal laws. So what's the next one?
Okay. So I also want to mention the law of readiness. I'm trying to find the ones that they've been around forever, but I'm assuming everybody didn't hear about them. Some people might have a little bit, but the law of readiness.
Right.
And that's an Eastern philosophy. Mm-hmm. So it's really best explained by the old adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Mm-hmm.
I love teaching classes because it really feels like that. So as an example, let's say you teach a particular subject and very few students show up. It's not because you're hard as a teacher in whatever field it is. It's because there are students who are just not ready for this information yet. And you'll find that happens with people when they teach and they're farther along on the knowledge level, whatever field it may be. And they actually, you would think they'd have more students, right? And a lot of times they actually get less because most people aren't ready for that yet.
Mm.
That's the law of readiness. So law of space, and that's really based on the fact that all space is electrical. So when you think about it, because it really is a science, when you think about it, all living and non-living life forms, there is an intersection between, say, different electrical units in the universe. It's directed by your thoughts. So as an example, see, there is a space in everything, even in our body. So in between your cells on a molecular level and tissues, there's always some space. So directioning your mind to focus on an event, the electrical units will try to bring it into line and then manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all really connected, because when you think about it, when you think of a wall, and I love doing this when I teach people to go out of body, when you think of a wall, depending on what it's made from, when you grow through it, it's really funny because sometimes it looks like a honeycomb, and here you're looking at it as solid, But when you're on the spiritual realm, it actually looks like a honeycomb sometimes. So you're going through all that space in between. It's funny. You know, first time it's a surprise. After that, it's just funny. And then you have the law of transfer of energy, which basically said that if two things are alike in every way, and say they're separated by space, different locations, they're going to experience an energy transfer between the two of them, depending on how far apart they are. So as an example, say you're looking at twin souls. Okay, it can also be described as two people in a tug of war with a rope. When one pulls, it has an effect on the other person. So even if you're connected with somebody, say a relative that you really care about, a grandparent, whatever, okay, and they live at a distance, okay, it sometimes it really is that tug of war kind of feeling. Okay, so you're transferring energy. And we do that more often than people realize. It's just that we're not looking at it consciously. So I'm always suggesting to people some of the laws that we talk about. If they take, say, one of the laws, like the one of readiness, okay, and that could be you're getting ready to learn how to drive a car, whatever it happens to be. If they really take one day and look at, okay, how many things are really going on around me in more detail, I find people get really surprised. Don't you find that?
Yeah, well, you know what I keep thinking, though? It's, you know, the universal laws are a very natural process. But
exactly.
I think we're just not so much aware of it. And maybe I think the only time we become aware of that there's something great, you know, greater out there than we realize is when something unusual occurs or there's a synchronistic event that occurs and we like wondering, well, you know, it can't be a coincidence. It's got to be something you know, more than that. Because, you know, people always assume that coincidence is what creates events to come to fruition. They don't believe that there's actually a harmonious structure that occurs in order to, you know, bring, let's say, two people together or to bring an answer that a person's been waiting for a long time or maybe a job that they're looking for. So, you know, it's almost like we think that our world is that chaotic. We have no control over it. But we actually have the tools out there to use. We just don't realize it, and it's a natural part of who we are.
Oh, exactly. I find that too. And it's funny, I had a client years ago, and he was job hunting, and he was telling me that he went to the store, and while he was at the store, and by the way, he was job hunting for months, and he was getting very discouraged. He knew exactly what type of job he wanted. He put his intention out, and he ran across a friend that had nothing to do with that type of job, who had a friend that was looking for somebody to hire with that type of job. He ended up with that by what he considered an accident. Coincidence, like you said.
Yeah.
But the intent was out for exactly what he wanted. It took months because he had very exact ideas. And it came in exactly right on time because he wasn't going to make his next bill.
So would you
consider
that,
that thing
like,
about sometimes it comes in the 11th hour? I think it should come in sooner.
Yes, I had that happen the last time I was waiting for a job. Believe me, the stress that I was under, you wouldn't want to believe. Would you consider this like the law of readiness? Would that come under the law of readiness?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because that job wasn't open. So if he looked and he made an application with that person, say, 3 months before, the person didn't vacate that spot for him to come in.
See,
so
that
it wouldn't be falling into place.
See, that's the other thing that people don't realize, you know, how they had, like, the secret, you know, where they taught people about drawing to them their desires. People don't realize also that just because something doesn't occur that moment doesn't mean that it's not going to occur. It just means that sometimes there are certain aspects to that event that needs to fall into place. So let's say if it's a job, maybe you have to wait till somebody vacates that job. Or if you're waiting for the perfect person to come into your life, maybe that perfect person is about to separate from somebody and you're waiting for that person to be, you know, detached from that other individual before he will go on and meet you. You know, so
exactly.
They don't realize that there are other components that need to take place before everything comes together proper way. You know, we're always so, you know, stressed out, worrying like, are we doing the right thing? Are we actually drawing the right thing to us? Are we doing it the right way? Or, you know, and we don't realize that there's so many other aspects to it that need to, you know,
plus right
come
now,
together.
You know, everybody wants everything instantly. And sometimes what happens is it's just not ready for you.
Yeah.
You know, so then they'll settle on something else and then they'll miss the opportunity because they weren't there when it cleared.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so they'll move on something that's close, you know, or they'll move on something, say, job-wise, that they don't like, you know, whereas if they would have waited a little bit longer, sometimes one job is a stepping stone to another. It's not always where you're going to end up.
Right, right. So how can we work more consciously with them, and what should we be aware of?
Well, actually, there are some steps that everybody can use. I love when we can do things for ourselves. So what you want to do is you really want to set an intention very clearly. It doesn't matter what area it's in, emotional, financial, health, whatever it is, you have to be very, very clear about exactly what your intent is. And then next, and this is funny, but it works, next you have to act as if it's already happening. Okay? So if you're, as an example, if... say you have a health issue and you hurt your arm and it's going to heal in 5 months, okay? You know, if you're looking at it as, okay, in 5 months I'm going to go to the Bahamas and swim because you need your arm for that, okay? You're setting a very definite intent to heal. But you really need to act on it also, so that means, you know, you're focusing on making the plans, getting the tickets, and I think they should take us with them.
I agree.
And then you want to put things in place on your end. You want to take action. So you're meeting it halfway. Okay, so you're still going to somebody, you know, medical as an example, or holistic, or wherever you go. Okay, so you're meeting it halfway. And then what you want to do is you literally want to put blinders on in order to keep your eye on the goal. You can't really say, okay, I want this. No, I changed my mind. Maybe I want to go to, you know, Europe instead. You have to pick something and really stay with that, okay? And then what you're really doing is you're going to surrender to it. You're going to allow outside forces to do the work for you because you already put out everything you can. And remember, there is an endless supply of everything. So thinking and lack, for example, can only bring the same. So if you're thinking, oh, I never have whatever it is, what the universe hears is, oh, you never have? Oh, we were going to give it to you, but okay, never mind, you don't want it.
Yeah, because it gives you exactly what you're saying. So if you
say, it's very technical.
If you say, I have no money, then yes, you will have no money because you're putting out the intent of exactly that.
Exactly. And, that's like, you know, we all hear people every now and then, they go, oh, I always have a headache. And then they're surprised when they get one.
Oh, where'd that come from?
You said you wanted one.
you know, the most popular law is, of course, you know, attracting abundance. And, you know, we've been brainwashed in society and thinking that there's not enough to go around, you know, not enough supply, there's not enough demand. Demand is... unbalanced, and therefore someone is going to have to do without, you know. We also have negative mantras that go through our minds that we've grown up with, especially if we've lived with, you know, parents like mine who grew up during the Depression era that tells us we don't deserve or we just can't have what others have. That ends up stopping us from seeing a positive outcome. So sometimes it's just a matter of being firm with ourselves and choosing not to indulge in these ideas, you know, remaining steadfast and on course to our desired outcome, you know, just not falling victim to what the ego tells you that, oh, you know, you can't have, you know, you don't deserve that, you know, how can you have that, you know, you were born this way and therefore you're not allowed to have that, you know, and all these things, a lot of these things come from our families, you know, as we're growing up, all that stuff is like seeping into our brains, you know. I remember a lot of the things that my parents would say, you know, I was young, obviously, and
right.
You retain it in your mind. You know, it doesn't go away. It's there all the time. So, you know, when they say, like, you have to be careful what you say around children.
Right.
I actually understand that now. It's not so much the cursing, you know. It's more of the fact
more
that.
More the thought.
You, Yeah, it's more that you're giving them a path in the future that can either lead them harder down that path, or perhaps if you give them more positive outlook and much more positive information that they can retain, they'll take that along, and that will build them up, you know, a lot better going down that path, you know. So, you know, you either make it easy for them or then you make it hard for them. So if they
really
make it hard for you.
You know, I find what I always suggest to people is if they have a negative thought, because we all have that, we're human, it's impossible not to. But if you have a negative thought like, you know, something is not going to work, if you mentally use the word cancel and then replace it with the opposite thought, at least you're not creating it.
Mm.
So you're not creating the negative.
So should you actually say in your mind cancel and then go
in? Yeah. You know, funny because I have days where I'm walking around mentally, walking around going, cancel, 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 cancel.
Well, you know, that's another thing. Like, just because you, let's say, you're involved in spirituality, you're involved in getting information out there about the topic, and you're trying to give people information to help them in their lives, doesn't mean that you don't have bad days, and it doesn't mean that you're perfect, because we're not all
perfect.
We're human. Even Gandhi had bad days, you know, and believe me, he had plenty of them. So you're not going to have happy all the time. You know, you're going to have days that are going to be downers, you know, and you're going to be around people that are going to be downers. You're going to be turning on the news and it's going to really get the hell out of you
draining?
Every damn day. Oh, I'm telling you,
I have, because I've been in my field all my life, but professionally forever, and I'm telling you, I have not been able to watch the news literally since I'm 12 years old, because it's so depressing and it's draining, and I didn't know why I couldn't watch it at the time. Now I know. Okay. Or you know, and everybody has this. You have one or two people around you where everybody has bad days. It's fine for a friend to tell you how their day went, but you have people where all they focus on is how awful everything is, and after a while, it drains you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because even if you give them a suggestion, you know they're not going to move on it, because they like feeling like, oh, my God, everything's wrong in my life. You know,
you can't help.
But if you hear that constantly and constantly and constantly, it's kind of like quicksand. You don't want to play into it and hang up and go, oh, my life isn't good either, because your life was fine before you picked up the phone.
well, you know what it is? You know, sometimes you do go through periods where I always believe you go through cycles in your life. You go through periods where you're like creating something. It's something that's going on inside of you. Maybe you're changing something in your life, or there's something coming out that, you know, is different in you. You know, maybe you're going to another unconscious or another subconscious level. You know, you're creating something that's going to bring you to a higher level of consciousness. And you tend to go, I know from my experience, you tend to go in a little. You can get a little thrown off. You'll feel a little, you know, insecure. But then it's like going through the dark, going through the tunnel, and then coming out onto the light. So remember that every time you go through that darkness, there will be the light on the other side. I've seen it happen constantly. I'm experienced with that. So I just want to let everybody know that.
But you know, sometimes even if it takes years, because some people go through, say, devastating periods in their life, it still comes out positive at the end. You just have to hang in there long enough.
Yeah. You just don't realize it as you're going through it. That's the thing, and I think that's what discourages a lot of people. But we're heading down to the last minute of the show. So you have any last minute brief words you'd like to say?
Oh, sure. I just want to tell people, don't forget to join us again as we bring more exciting toppings to you. So until the next time and always, may God bless you abundantly. And thank you for tuning in.
Yes, and thank you all for joining us this evening on Hidden Mysteries. And be sure to mark us as your favorite so that you continue to receive notifications of upcoming shows. And visit us on Facebook.com/MQuestMedia. And there you can send us comments or suggestions for upcoming shows. Let us know what questions you may have on today's topic that we may not have covered, or perhaps stories of your own experiences. You can get in touch with Maria at MariaDeAndrea.com or call her at 631-559-1248. So until next time, have a nice night, and we'll see you next month on Hidden Mysteries.